Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading from Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. Dear Christian friends, these are beautiful words from the book of Job. But if you have read the long book of Job, you know that much of what it has to say is not that beautiful. Job is grieving the death of his children. He is terribly sick. He is depressed. He is miserable when he is visited by four friends. That's what friends do. Most of this book is a dialogue between him and these friends. But when they first come to see him, they cry with him. And then they sit on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights without saying anything. They're showing compassion. They're suffering with him. But then they start talking with him about why he is suffering, trying to give him some help, trying to help him understand it all and give him some good advice. But that sometimes happens with friendly advice, it doesn't make Job feel any better at all. He doesn't think they understand. He doesn't think God understands. But in these verses in our text, he still expresses confident hope. Even though those who are visiting are not such good friends, that he still has what young people today would call a BFF, a best friend forever. Jesus is that friend who is compassionate, who suffers with us, who is helpful, who understands, who is loyal, and he is our forever friend. Calling someone a BFF can be hyperbole, a bit exaggerated, because even if they never move away, they die. We die. But because of what Job affirms here, we do have one who is more than a friend, a redeemer who is forever, who does not stay dead, but lives again. And because of him, we also do not stay dead, but live forever. We can't make anything last forever, but our Redeemer stands at the last for us, so that we will see God at last for ourselves. Let's think first about how we can't make anything last forever. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever." How would you record something that you want to last forever? You probably have in your closets at home some things recorded that you want to remember and pass on to posterity. Depending on your age, they may be recorded on 8mm movies, or VCR tapes, or a cassette, or a DVD, or a memory stick. Good luck with any of those in 100 years. For saving things, I suspect that Job's technology, simply writing things down, is probably better than anything else. In fact, his words in the book of Job are the oldest thing written down that we still have. It's the oldest book in the Bible. But Job is still hard to understand because language changes. We no longer even understand what some of those ancient words mean. One reason that Job's words have been well prepared, preserved, however, is not just because they were in fact written down and put in a book, they weren't written on rock, but because they were memorable. And so they were written on people's hearts because they were such a powerful message. We may like to preserve things that we have in life, our savings, our property, our health, which is hard to do for very long and impossible to do forever. But another concern is preserving not just what we have, but who we are. The immortality of being remembered. We may hope this may happen as who we are is engraved on people's hearts, our friends and our family. But none of this was going so well for Job. What he had was not lasting. At the very beginning of the book, he loses all his property and all of his children and his health. All he has left is his wife, his friends, and God. And he's not getting along very well with any of them. His wife is so tired of seeing his misery and his suffering that she suggests that he simply curse God and die. His friends are trying to explain to him that, well, since God is righteous, surely he has done something wrong to deserve his suffering, and he would be better off if he would just admit that. Job keeps insisting, that's not true. It's all unfair. And he wishes he could make his case to God face to face, except that God seems so far away. One of the reasons that what we have doesn't last is because it decays over time. That's caused by the elements, by germs and microbes that nature is full of, even though they're too small to see. In fact, it's been found that we have millions of microbes that are part of our body. It's just a natural part of who we are. Who we are is also ruined by decay. To a degree, Job's friends were right. We all deserve to suffer, even if, like Job, you can't point to any particular special sin. But it's because of that natural sin that is part of who we are that we all die. It corrupts relationships. It makes us spiritually allergic to God so that we can't stand to be in His presence. But although Job's friends may be partly right, they're of no help. Our only help, Job recognizes, is that our Redeemer stands at the last for us. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." If things went so bad for you that you lost all you had, your savings, your possessions, even your ability to work, and were so deep in debt that you ended up losing the property that you used to make a living with because it was foreclosed on, you would need a special kind of friend, a redeemer. The Hebrew word for redeemer here refers specifically to a relative who buys back inherited property in order to keep it in the family, who pays off the debt when you can't pay it. A redeemer, I suppose, is something like a co-signer on a loan. Job is confident. No matter how bad things get, he has a redeemer. Not just for his real estate, but for his life. Because his friends are suggesting that he is morally bankrupt, a hypocrite. But he says, no, I am still solvent. He may be a poor, miserable sinner himself, but he has a Redeemer who's good as gold. And he is rich in mercy to take care of all of his debt. Job says, at the last, he will stand upon the earth. The word he uses here for earth literally means dust. When everything crumbles to dust, he will still be standing. Job is absolutely right. This one who comes at the last is Jesus. He is not just our friend, but our brother. He has been born as a human to be one of us. Because we have failed to give God the obedience that we owe, we are deep in debt. The wages of our sin is death, and so we die and we return to dust. But Jesus' perfect life has produced such a return that he offers the free gift of grace to all. By his death on the cross, he has paid for all our penalties. He frees us from the debtor's prison of hell. By his redemption, he preserves our eternal inheritance. He keeps it in the family, and he restores us to God's family. So that when all the dust settles, Jesus is still standing. He has risen again. By his victorious resurrection, his enemies, death and the devil, have been defeated. They've been crushed to dust under his feet. Because he lives and he reigns forever. On the last day he will come again, and he will stand on earth as Lord of all. And that is when, along with Job and all who have ever lived, we will see God at last for ourselves. Job says, "After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me." When Jesus rose again on that first Easter, even his best friends didn't believe it until they saw it with their own eyes. But Luke tells us the women remembered and believed his words. And that's why we're here today, to hear again and to remember and to believe his words. Even though we do not yet see him with our own eyes, to be reminded and to believe that our Redeemer lives. Job knew and believed, and so he was comforted in his troubles, even though he realized he did not yet see God or what he was up to in his life, and he didn't understand his ways or why he suffered. But he did know that his Redeemer's living meant that he too would live real life in the flesh. Even after he had lost everything, including his life, even after his body had rotted away, this is the real way that we are preserved. Not just in somebody's memory, but being turned from dust back into life. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we heard it this morning, all the dead will be raised. We say it in the Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the body. This is not good news for those who refuse to be God's friends. Because it means on that last day they can no longer deny his truth. They can no longer pretend to be hiding from him. But for all us, it is the best news of all. Because it means that we will see his smiling face. The face of him who is our best friend forever. No longer will God need to shield us from being blinded by his glory because of our sinfulness, because our sins will all be taken away. No longer will he continue to hide himself in a lowly manger, on a deadly cross, in simple bread and wine, or in common written words. No longer will we only see a dim reflection of him in creation, but we will see him face to face, and we will know him fully as we are fully known. We can make nothing last forever. One day, like Job, we will lose everything. Our words and everything we have and everything we do and everything we are will fade. But our Redeemer stands at the last for us. Jesus, who has paid all of our debt, who has brought us back, bought us back for God, has risen and lives and stands when everything else turns to dust. He will return and stand on this earth, and he will raise us too. And we will see God at last for ourselves. Then we will see how he has worked for good in our lives. And we will see how much he loves us and the wonderful life that he gives us eternally. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, whose path is all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.